David, good morning.
Good morning, Neil.
Okay, you don't mind if I give out your age and where you live, do I? Do you?
I'll be 75 at the end of the month.
And you have a little cottage in Yall, is that right?
I have a cottage in Redbourn, yes.
In Redbourn. Is that your home then?
It's not. I bought it as when the fall came and the banks left the stone. I bought it as a distressed property. And I bought it at the time. They were built for 230,000 and they bought it for 65,000.
What kind of nick was it in for 65 grand?
It was in great nick, but a freezing house. When they built them, they were inspected, true or false, I don't know, but they inspected the first five houses out of 61. And then they didn't inspect anymore, and they put no insulation in the roofs, no insulation in the walls, and I don't know what's underground, but it's cold underground as well, you know.
It's just a damn cold, damp. Is it damp as well?
No, it's not damp. I will say it's actually very dry, and I've done a lot of work. I've done the roof since, which cost approximately 7,000 for to insulate the roof, because the tiles had to be taken off and stuff like that. Okay. And I'm doing that now in the last 11 years.
Okay. Are you doing it, or are you bringing in trades?
No, I bring in a person every time I can get the money together.
All right, fair play.
My wife won't let me get up in a chair, though, you know.
For fear of what? You'd fall off it, is it?
Exactly.
All right. Well, she's only caring and looking after you, in fairness to her. Yeah.
She isn't.
Yeah. You know, any grants for that, incidentally?
No. And as I said, they were built during the good times. There were 61 of them, and they were built and bought off the plans.
I have to say that during the Celtic Tiger, in many cases, the quality of work took a dive.
Most of the work in these were very good, but what I do blame is the inspectors who were examining the houses at the time. They did the first five and then walked away, and that left a lot of houses in Redbourn, and people are still asking today what the cost for to get my roof done.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
and people might ask, geez, you could afford a holiday home, but I worked overseas. I worked in Abu Dhabi, Kuwait. I worked in Saudi Arabia at one time, you know.
Yeah, what did you do?
I'm a mechanical engineer.
Okay, were you on plants or something?
I was installing gas turbines. We were walking just outside Mecca, and we were installing gas turbines for to give them electricity, but yet we couldn't walk into Mecca because it was illegal, as you know.
Yeah. Well,
it was fantastic.
Like in all countries, I'm a firm believer in all countries of abiding by their rules. Were it the same here, I suppose some would say, to be a better place. But anyway, that's for another day. So do you use... Yeah, go on.
Sorry, I'll leave you. Go ahead.
Do you use the cottage?
I do. I'm going down on Friday, and I'll just check the petrol. People will say you shouldn't be using the fuel. But I mean, like at my age, what years I have left, I'm going to use it. It's a fantastic place. We had great times there. Unfortunately, the hotel was taken over because of the war situation, and I didn't mind that. I said, right, people needed the place at the time, but the place is now empty since the 31st of August, the last Ukrainian left the Quality Hotel.
You said empty. Is it empty?
Empty. And I was down
I thought there, it was I-Pass going in there. No, there's just no one there.
They're not going in there. What they're doing, the hotel part is empty, but the consortium that bought the hotel, they bought it during the banking, they bought it off NAMA for 465,000, right?
Right.
No, this was built, Neil, and you can check this out. It was on the papers. It was built for just under 8 million, right?
Wow.
Sold for 465,000. The apartments that were tied to the hotel were part of the hotel, and the hotel then, the consortium bought up 42 of the houses. There were four bedroom houses, and no one knows where the money came from for to buy that.
Right. But someone bought it anyway, whatever. But are the houses being used for refugees, asylum seekers, and IPAS?
They are.
Okay.
They are.
but the hotel's empty.
Empty, and there's no Ukrainians down there, now, actually. I was there on the day, I call it eviction of the last Ukrainians, because there was this lovely family who was staying there, and they had a special daughter, you know. She was 11, and they were sending this lady to Port McGee in Kerry, right?
Right.
But I said, what facilities do they have down there for their daughter? And there was two civil servants there, and one of them just shrugged his shoulders, Neil. And I felt it so hurtful that this person down there with no services was absolutely horrific.
Well, I can talk with some knowledge as to probably where that family went in Port McGee. There's a big holiday complex of six-bedroom dormers there, very, very big. And there's about, I don't know, 10, maybe 15 of them. It's a fairly big estate area. And there are multiples, many, many Ukrainian families in there, a lot of them sharing the housing and there. But there would be, okay, it's a beautiful, picturesque part of the world, as I well know. And there would be a primary school there, and there would be bus access then to secondary schools, and buses on a daily basis taking refugees to and from the likes of Kara Savine. But in times of war, I would still hope that people would be grateful.
And I'll be honest, these people were very grateful. They were lovely people. We became very friendly with most of them down there, you know. This thing just stood out of my mind. I'm glad you said no, that this family could have gotten, and I hope that this young girl is looked after because she has special needs.
Well, I know that there was a lot of heartache when children were being taken out of primary school down in Youghal and sent to places like South Kerry and Waterford and Wexford. I know it was very hard for them. But I can't get past the fact that nothing's been done with the hotel since. Is that what you're telling me?
Nothing has been done. And all we're getting is rumours that there's talk that the government departments, there's discussions going on at the moment with them, right?
Is the hotel still being paid from the state?
No, okay. No, because the person who's the main overseer there is just talked that he's leaving within the next 10 days.
Okay, well, I won't get into any of that. But isn't y'all crying out for a hotel?
Massively. In actual fact, it was just we just got the boardwalk, which was fantastic. We got the greenway. It was just developing. East Cork was just coming back again. And I'll be honest, you know, the way East Cork is in the doldrums at the moment.
In the doldrums. Well, the Greenway connects Youghal now to Middleton, and it's a lovely, lovely route. But what the heck, like? You would think that if a hotel was empty, that I'll have to ask and put in a request maybe to get a response from them as to what their plan or intention is. You would have thought they'd have been open, gearing up for an opening in April kind of thing, or for the summer season or something.
You would, of course, and this is why Pat was on there a while ago, and I was hoping that you may, or that if you have time, you see, they won't answer my questions, but I just hate to see the place the way it's going. It's empty. It's no talk of it being open for the summer, as you said. And if there are questions, someone has to get their finger.
We'll, as the Angst would say, we'll reach out. We'll see if we can get a response. And they have responded to us in the past, in fairness to the company behind it, and I expect they will do the same. Why do you say doldrums, though?
Well, East Cork, we used to love going to East Cork years ago. I came from a family of eight, Neil, and I remember the times like that when my parents used to take me to Youghal, that we went underneath the barrier to get on the train, you know.
That was always the way, wasn't it?
It was, of course. And then we were sent off from the beach to get someone to boil a kettle for us for a tanner, you know. And I have these fantastic memories. I have memories of the Lucy's having the caravan park and stuff like that. And then, unfortunately, whatever happened to the East Cork people, they're not fighting back at all, and I can't understand it.
Yeah. Do you remember the donkey on the beach for the penny rides?
And the smell of mackerel when the boats were coming to sell the mackerel for twopence, you know.
And the salt and vinegary smell of chips.
You would, of course. And it was so fantastic. And then when the lads from Dunlop's and Falls would get their holidays, and we'd have fantastic times down there if you could get to rent the place for a couple of days, you know.
Remember House Took and Youghal, yeah. And the Merries?
Oh, the marriage was absolutely superb. And it, for to be able to afford to go to the marriage, if you got the couple of pence off your mum and dad, like, it was just so fantastic. And life was so, I thought, so good at the time, you know.
But then, of course, you went through a lot of economic doldrums. There was a huge amount of business closures down there, industrial closures down there, layoffs. They closed down the railway line, and it really kind of signaled the end to an extent, didn't it?
It did, but there again, then there was a watch and clock face came back, you know, and they were flying there for about 9.5 years. And when it had to be taken over then by an Irish consortium and an Irish manager, the company left and they went back to their own countries. You know, there's something missing down there, and whether or not it's two or three small families own all of y'all and that area, you know, I don't know. But something can be done, and if they wake up like the West Cork people or the people in Kinsale, or if we got one of them to move down to East Cork with us, you know, it would be fantastic, you know.
Yeah, and they're good comparisons, actually, say Clonakilty or Kinsale, although y'all probably would be a little bigger than them. Well, maybe not Clonakilty, but you know, you used to always compare y'all with Ballybunion. Do you mind if I just make that point? Because Ballybunion seemed to have a lot of similarities to y'all back in the day, and it's still thriving.
Yes, and I suppose, like, it's someone should be asking the question, what exactly happened? Did people just get very, very tired down in Yall? I mean, like, you have the Moby Dick and place like that now, they were closing and stuff, you know. Yeah. And these were all names going back, like, to the time of the film and stuff like that. When these places are closing, they go totally off the map, and is it going to die for 100 years, you know?
Yeah, I know. I imagine that my conversation with you now might provoke others from the Yall area to get in touch and give us their thoughts. At the end of the day, it's political. At the end of the day, it's probably lack of political willpower, political representation, right, including the local council and those that should be driving on an area and a community, right?
Very true, and we won't mention the TD's name who was going to pull the plug on them there, because they weren't going to do a bypass there towards Killa and Carrick Tool. And he said he was going to pull the plug on the Fianna Fáil government, and we haven't heard from him since, unfortunately.
Sad days.
He wanted the oil back, you know.
Okay.
Look, Neil, it's fantastic. Right. It's great to speak to you, and I know you're the only one out there who can get the ball sorted.
Well, I don't know about that, but we'll see if we can get an answer as to what is the plan with the Quality Hotel. If you're saying it's been closed since August, the hotel.
31st of August, okay. Was the last day.
Okay, yeah. Let's see if we can get a response to it. Thank you. And regards to yourself and your wife, and stay on firm ground. Don't be climbing up ladders and climbing up on chairs. Do you hear me?
I will, of course. Thanks a lot, Neil.
God bless. Take care.